Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here's one thing you may not have known about Obama economics advisor and former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers. He is skeptical of capitalism that tries to do well by doing good. In a new book of conversations edited by Michael Kinsley, Summers questions whether Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae ever could have worked with their contradictory missions of turning a profit for their shareholders and promoting homeownership in the working class. And he says the lesson for capitalism that tries to promote social goals alongside profits may be pretty general. Now, Summers writes this in the context of the book called Creative Capitalism. The editor, Michael Kinsley, is here now to discuss the idea, and we'll also get into his recent article about Barack Obama, tobacco user. Michael Kinsley is a Time Magazine columnist these days who has been founding editor of Slate.com, New Republic editor-in-chief, LA Times editorial page editor, and more. The book is Creative Capitalism, A Conversation with Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and other economic leaders. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks.
What does the term creative capitalism actually refer to, and where did it come from?
Well, I can tell you what it refers to, and thanks for not asking me to say what it means, because that's sort of what the book's about. Last January at Davos, this big, fancy, worldwide conference of big shots they hold every year, Bill Gates gave a very interesting speech where he said there are problems in the world that are too big even for my philanthropy, let alone other people's, and they're too big for government, and they have to be solved by capitalism, by the free market. And he said that, you know, capitalism is very good at answering the needs of prosperous people, not so good at answering the needs of poorer people.
Uh-huh.
And so he said it needs to change, and what it should change into he called creative capitalism.
Kind of social entrepreneurship, but on a larger scale than we usually think of it?
That's one definition. He didn't really define it.
Yeah.
He wanted to start a conversation.
Which you then took the next step on by having this whole book of conversations with Warren Buffett and Larry Summers and Robert Reich and all these other economic leaders on this idea?
Sure, but except for the conversation with Warren Buffett and Bill, which was an actual conversation over lunch, which I tape recorded, these are conversations by email. It's sort of a literary experiment, among other things.
It's one of the things that I've always liked on Slate. They have their exchanges of emails between prominent thinkers who often disagree on things, and it turns into a very interesting thing to
read.
Yeah,
I think email is a perfect way to discuss ideas, because when it works, you get sort of the immediacy of talking along with the thoughtfulness of writing.
Though the Yankees and the Bloomberg administration may have some regrets today, referring to our previous segment. But Lawrence Summers says or writes in this book, you want creative capitalism? Try this. All Americans benefit from increases in home ownership, excuse me, because of the values like hard work, community, and respect for property that ownership instills. Families want desperately to own their own homes and accumulate equity. Yet it is very hard for conventional banks that borrow money over the short term to lend over the kind of 30-year horizon that best helps families buy houses. How can the objective of home ownership best be supported, and how can the most adequate financing be assured? Voila, creative capitalism. And, of course, he was talking about Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, which were that hybrid that went bust.
That is very typical of Larry Summers. He is brilliant, and he is opinionated, and it's, of course, gotten him in trouble on more than one occasion. I think it's great that he's going to be part of the Obama administration.
Why? Because one could hear that and think, well, gosh, you know, here's Summers taking this, unfortunately, for the moment, failed, very noble use of government and the free market, and using it as a knock on the whole idea of capitalism trying to serve the two masters of doing well and doing good. Is that the value system we want advising President Obama?
Well, let me say a couple things about that. Number one, it was, you know, some people, and I would have to say including me, as well as Larry Summers, have been suspicious of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for years. It was a flawed concept. And then second, this, just like his controversial remarks about women and other things, were really, he's not endorsing anything except let's not self-censor. And I think that's the, in my experience, which is in journalism, that, and I assume this applies in other areas, the most, it's very important that people feel they can bring up anything and not live to regret it. And, you know, you can say, that's a ridiculous idea, and it'll go away. But you can't be afraid to bring it up.
And we have found on the content the rare common ground between Michael Kinsley and the Wall Street Journal editorial page, skepticism about the workability of the Fannie and Freddie model.
Yeah.
But taking it out a step further, and again to read from Summers in your book, when there were social failures, the companies always blamed their need to perform for the shareholders, Fannie and Freddie. When there were business failures, it was always the result of their social obligations. So it is hard in this world to do well. It is hard to do good. When I hear a claim that an institution is going to do both, I reach for my wallet. You should too. So can this idea of creative capitalism, can the idea of capitalism that puts maybe some restraint on its profitability for the sake of accomplishing a social goal, you know, does it have a future?
Well, you know, this book does not take sides. In fact, there's a lot of critique of this. One of the interesting critiques is, look at Bill Gates. He did not, from the beginning, try to combine philanthropy and good works and idealism with capitalism. He spent 20 years or so as trying to make as much money as he possibly could, and then he stopped, and now he's devoting his money and his life to some wonderful things. And, you know, that might be a better approach.
What do you think about this extraordinary moment, Michael, of the collapse of our economic assumptions and the election of Barack Obama? I don't know if I've ever seen hope and disillusionment as closely intertwined.
Well, I voted for Obama, and I certainly, it's the first time since I was able to vote where there you really felt the excitement of politics. You know, until Obama, the only winner I'd ever voted for was Clinton, and, you know, he was sort of a mixed message from the beginning. There is a problem in that we ought to be moving faster than we can. Everything's on hold till January 20th. So that's the downside.
And this was not the America that Obama ran to change. We had a recession, which now they say retrospectively was officially a recession as of December of last year. But nobody was calling it 1933 until like 6 weeks ago. So do you think that he needs to change his original prescriptions for change to deal with the new realities?
Oh, yes. I'm working on a piece which I have to turn in today at Time, which says, you know, where's the downside of all this? They say we have to have a stimulus, $300 billion, $500 billion, a trillion. And every prescription is pleasant, you know, in a way. Fine, the government can spend as much money as it needs, and it's a good thing, I guess, but it can't be all that good.
Well, we're going to have Matt Miller in here later in the week, who historically has been a deficit hawk and has a new piece on how he, you know, woke up and decided to fall in love with deficits. But how many trillions of deficits can we get into? I don't know if anybody's answered that question yet.
Well, Matt Miller, not for the first time, and I have been thinking along the same lines.
Does the book, your book, Creative Capitalism, seem almost anachronistic? I hate to ask this. Even on its release, maybe except for the Summers piece and the one that follows it on Freddie and Fannie, the idea of creative capitalism maybe is something pre-financial crisis, when maybe there was just more prosperity and more wealth around and money to spare to have these, you know, angel dance on the head of the pin conversations about balancing doing well with doing good.
Well, you know, the timing could be thought of as unfortunate, in that the financial crisis did, if not happen, become widely acknowledged since I finished the book. But it could also be considered fortunate in that we're going to need some solutions to problems that we thought we had solved.
Do you have any most favorite and least favorite Obama cabinet picks?
I think they're all pretty good. I think all the attention to Hillary is a little bit boring in that, you know, they're both Democrats and coming up with all these campaign agreements is sort of a silly game, as Obama said yesterday. Bob Gates is an interesting appointment that I would like to hear and read more about. You know, he was running the war that Obama has promised to end. And now he's going to end it. You know, have you ever heard of the Vicar of Bray?
Meaning?
He was a character in England during the period where, you know, they kept on changing from Protestant to Catholic to Protestant. And the Vicar of Bray managed to make every move. And Bob Gates is a little bit like the Vicar of Bray in this case.
As a cartoon, I think in the New Yorker, displayed, if Obama had a real team of rivals, he'd be up there announcing his new cabinet, Sean Hannity, Newt Gingrich. That would be a team of rivals.
Well.
But on something completely different before you go, You wrote a Washington Post op-ed on Barack Obama, tobacco user. What moved you to such puffery?
Well, it was, you know, you look for things that no one is saying. And it seems to me, in all probability, that he does still have an occasional cigarette. And I thought I'd get there first and say, let him have it. You know, it's
now, your investigative work revealed on, you know, the eternal investigative journalism question of what we knew and when we knew it, that Obama must have been still smoking even while he was on Nicorette gum, which was supposed to be a no-no.
Yeah. And that's, you know, he should quit. But let him solve this crisis first and end the war. And the chance of tobacco killing him is somewhat less, I posit, than the chance of him maybe getting us killed in some disaster when he's dying for a smoke.
So if he needs to decompensate by stepping outside the White House, because I don't think you're allowed to smoke in the White House, right?
I wouldn't know.
Maybe if you're president, you can decide to smoke in the White House. Otherwise, you have to stand outside in the cold near the white pillars. But, you know, of course, then all these newly unemployed Americans are going to say, Michael Kinsley said it's okay for me to get through this crisis by going out and lighting up. All right, Michael Kinsley, his new book as editor is Creative Capitalism, A Conversation with Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Other Economic Leaders. Always good to see you, Michael. Thanks, Brian. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, New York's hidden illiteracy problem. It's a follow-up to yesterday's Radio Rookies piece on WNYC about a high school student who admitted he couldn't read. Stay with us.